Om Namah Shivaya. Dear listeners of Shaivam.org, the next program is Spiritual Discourse. In this, you are about to listen Shiva Purana. The title is Rudrashtakam, Meaning and Philosophy of Lord Shiva, presented by Swami Jyotir Mayananda. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
The first session, our beloved Guru, Pujya Atman, Sri Swami Jyotir Mayananji.
Om, Om Trayambakam Yajamahe, Sugandhim Pushti Vardhanam, Urvarukum Bandhanan, Mrityor Mukshyamamritat, Om Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Prayer to Lord Shiva, and then we open that. Yes. Om, I'm going to recite for you a famous prayer known as Rudrashtakam, 8 verses offered to Lord Shiva. This was composed by Saint Tulsidas from the Ramayana. Namami Shamishana Nirvana Rupam Vibhum Vyapakam Brahma Veda Swarupam Anijam nirgunam nirvikalpam niriham chidakasham akashavasam bhajeham. O Lord, the Lord of Lords, I offer adorations to you. You are the very embodiment of nirvana, liberation. You are all-powerful, all-pervading Brahman, who is manifest in the form of the Vedas. You are self-effulgent, devoid of the gunas, the modes of nature, devoid of vikalpas, that is, projections of the mind, desireless. You are the absolute consciousness. You are the supreme akasha, space, mystical space, pure consciousness, wrapping up all that exists. Adorations to you. Nirakaram Omkarat Moolam Turiyam Girajnana Gotitam Isham Girisham Karalam Mahakala Kalam Kripalam Gunadhara Sansara Param Natoham. I worship Lord Shiva, who is formless. Om, the root sound symbol of Brahman, the absolute beyond the three states, waking, dream and deep sleep. Beyond the reach of speech and intellect, the Lord of Kailasha, terrible for the forces of darkness, death and destruction for all that is evil and demoniac, but all merciful for his devotees, who is the abode of all virtues, he who takes his devotees across the ocean of the world process. Tusharadri Sankasha Gauram Gabhiram Mano Bhuta Koti Prabhashi Sariram Sphuran Mauli Kallolini Charu Ganga Lasad Bhala Balendu Kanthe Bhujanga. I worship Lord Shiva, who is taintless and pure, pure like the snows on the Himalayas, who is unfathomable, who shines with the beauty and glory of millions of cupid gods. The sparkling sacred waters of the Ganges sprout from his matted locks. His forehead is decked with the crescent moon. His neck is adorned by snakes. Chalat kundalam shubhra netram vishalam prasannananam neelakantham dayalam mrigadhisha charmambaram mundamalam priyam shankaram sarvanatham bhajami. I worship Lord Shiva, whose earrings shine and shimmer, whose eyes are beautiful and vast, whose face is full of bliss, whose throat is blue, who is all compassion, he who wears tiger skin for his garment and has the garland of skulls. O beloved Shankara, the Lord of Lords, I worship you. Prachandam prakrishtam pragalbham paresham akhandam ajambhanu koti prakasham Kraya Shula Nirmulanam Shula Panim Bhajeham Bhavani Patim Bhava Gamyam. I worship Lord Shiva, the Lord of Bhavani, who is attained by bhavana, devotion, who is terrible, exalted, intrepid, indivisible, unborn, blazing with the effulgence of millions of suns put together, who holds a trident in his hand to root out the threefold miseries, kalatita kalyana talpantatari, data dasa tajjana nanda data purari, chidananda sandoha moha pahari, prasida prasida prabho manmathari. I worship Lord Shiva, who is indivisible, ever blessed, the dissolver of the world cycle, constant giver of joy to the righteous, the destroyer of demon Tripura. Tripura is the fictitious identity with the three bodies due to ignorance, the embodiment of consciousness and bliss, dispeller of delusion. O Lord, the destroyer of Manmatha, the cupid god that churns one's mind, have mercy on me. Nayavad umanatha padaravindam bhajanti haloke pare vanaranam natavat sukham shanti santapanasham prasida prabho sarvabhutadhivasam. As long as one does not worship the lotus feet of Lord Shiva, the Lord of Goddess Uma, so long there is no happiness or peace for anyone, nor there is removal of misery for him, either in this world or in the next. O Lord, the indweller in the heart of all beings, have mercy on me. Na janami yogam japam naiva pujam, na toham sada sarvada shambhutubhyam, jara janma dukkhauha tatapyamanam prabho pahi apannamami shashambho. I do not know yoga or japa, or any form of puja. I simply bow before you at all times, at every moment, O Lord Shambhu, have mercy on me. O Lord, I am being scorched by the fire of miseries caused by repeated old age, birth and death. O Lord, protect me. I have taken refuge in Thee. Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya. Let me give you some insight into some episodes. You have heard the episode of Bhasmasura, and each time Bhasma is put on the forehead, the subtle meaning of that episode, that Bhasmasura was a big demon and he had the boon that if he were to put his hand over anybody's head, he will burn up. And the subtle meaning is ahamata mamata, within every individual, the sense of ego that puts its hand on someone, and putting hand is mine. Sense of ego is me. The I within you is rajasik tamasik I, is the ego. How does it put hand on your head? By creating the sense mine. Because mind comes from the brain. And wherever you direct your attention with this idea, this is mine. This is the world I live in. This, the sun shines in our age, Kali Yuga. I'm giving you a very broader understanding. Anything that relates to your me and mine, anityam asukham lokam, all is anitya, all this is transient. The entire experience of yours which related to me and mine is big balloon of maya. Your purpose in life is to grow out of the illusion of me and mine. Therefore every mantra ends with namah. Tamah has that nothing is mine, nothing is me. And that type of destruction of Bhasmasura wanted to put his hand on Shiva's head, and thereby was captivated by Parvati Devi, Gauri Devi. The subtle implication of similar story occurs in mother worship, when Shumbha and Nishumbha became captivated by Goddess Saraswati. They wanted to possess her. Of course, the Ma says it seems like some historical story, but for a more maturer understanding, this has nothing to do with history. It relates to every individual, the role of ego in individual. As long as you are going after ego-based aspiration, first your attention is towards all the glorious things of the world. Then somehow the mind tries to move to a higher level, having learnt that the highest is Brahman, and his Prakriti Maya. And that through Prakriti, this entire creation goes on evolving. Ego-based mind doesn't like Brahman. The Brahman is neti-neti. You have to disperse yourself. But likes Prakriti that gives all types of things. The mystic psychology, the mind ignores Brahman and highlights ego. Let me live to possess, live to be famous, live to go viral. I'm joking. This intense aspiration is like Bhasmasur going after, or rather fascinated with Parvati Devi. But in order to secure Parvati, in order to have your fame, name secured in this world, you have to be careful of Shiva who goes on destroying the world. So why not destroy him? How to make ego and its attainment secure? That's the movement towards ignorance. That's what human mind suffers from. Even when you are told liberation is your goal, your mind begins to imagine, what will I get? When will I get liberated? And if you became liberated, what will I get? This psychology has been put into mystical story as if you want to put your hand on Shiva, burn him up. And there is a whole dramatization. Shiva starts running and audience watching this show begins to feel great sympathy with Shiva. But this is just an allegorical understanding. If you are moving towards God, viewing God as your possession, then God goes away from you. Kabira's song. Pache lage hari phire. Kabira man nirmal bhayo, jaise ganga neer. Pache lage hari phire, kath kabir kabir. Kabira complains, rather begins his song like, he went after temple after temple to have darshan of God. But somehow some whisper came and God knew it. And he came through the front and God would run away from the back. And Kabira had a hard time. Man nirmal bhayo, then he brought about purity of mind. Mind free of malas, egoism, attachment, hatred, etc. Pache lage hari phire, then Lord became so fascinated by Kabira that Kabira doesn't have to go to the temple. God is always behind him. So much so, dramatization, just like a pet dog goes after you, God is after you. And when we are not aware of it, God is crying out, look, give attention to me. The Godward movement becomes so easy and spontaneous when you have brought your ego down or rendered your ego sattvic. So that was the story of Bhasmasur. And it is that which is celebrated by putting ashes on your forehead. Because in that story again, I've already given, just to give you highlights, Bhasmasur started putting his hand on Shiva's head. Shiva went on running. Narada, Vishnu and all became concerned. Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, assuming the form of Mohini, began to distract Bhasmasur. And Bhasmasur somehow found Mohini not any less interesting. And Mohini said, I am also fascinated by you. Let us celebrate with joy. So they start dancing. Dancing with Vishnu means developing Devi Sampat, divine qualities. First start developing divine qualities within you. The ego dances with the divine qualities. But when divine qualities come to high level, vichar develops in your mind. Who am I? You begin to put the hand right on your own head. First your hand is going after everything other than yourself. This is mine, that mine. That is going to become mine. But now it switches. Who am I? How can you put your hand on your own head? Whatever. In the story, the Devi Mohini dances and she puts her hand on her own head. But in the dancing process, he has become so drunk with excitement, intoxication, that he just forgets that if his hand is put on his own head, he will be burned to ashes. He forgets about it. He just imitates Mohini, puts his hand, implying if you develop purity of heart, ego is, you begin to detach from your ego. Ego is not your identity. And a question emerges within you, who is this ego? How does it develop? And it is that type of movement that is dramatized by Bhasmasur putting his hand on his own head, tricked by Vishnu. The result, he burns up. And that's the goal of life. Bhasmasura in you should become bhasma. Bhasma is ashes. And that's what you remind yourself by putting the bhasma. Ganesha has similar story. A terrible demon, Sindura, gained the boon that if he were to bring anything within his two arms, whatever jiva, people, beings, animals, birds, human beings, whatever comes within his arms will become completely destroyed by him or completely subjugated by him. This is a mystical portrayal of moha. Moha means a deluded feeling. Moha grips objects that you love the objects, but it's a kind of as if you are gripping them by your arms. Your arms are made up of raga, dvesha, attachment and hatred. And you grip objects, that life of moha. But whatsoever comes in the grip of raga, dvesha will not survive, is in the realm of mortality. It so happened that he started extending his arms. He also has a terrible boon, could extend his arms to beyond limit. And he extended his arms and put all gods in that circle created by his arm. Parvati Devi then invoked Ganesha. Ganesha came with his elephant head and with his special trishul in his hand and went after this demon, destroyed the demon. The demon ultimately was destroyed and his red blood strewn into the ocean became all red. That's, you are being reminded each time you put kumkum or sindoor on your forehead. That's reminding you of the destruction of moha, the destruction of ahamta bhasmasur, destruction of moha, the sense of all this is dear to me. All this like pieces of my heart, I'm holding. Now these are simple episodes, but that has gone into all rituals in the Hindu religion. Always bhasma, sindoor, kumkum, and Ganesha to be worshipped first. Now, turning my attention to Shiva married Parvati for the purpose of destroying Tarakasur, gods including Brahma and Vishnu had offered prayers. Tarakasur was a terrible demon that had terrorized all souls. Taraka term means one to cross over. But Tarakasur has a different type of implication. This asura didn't allow any soul to cross over the world process. It was an obstruction in the intrinsic capacity of the soul to cross over. This obstruction has to be destroyed. If that is done, it's another form of ignorance. Ignorance is being described in different ways. Tarakasur is a kind of an aspect of ignorance. And Tarakasur had received a boon. Each time when the asura practices a lot of austerity and Brahma appears, each asura wants to gain immortality. And Brahma each time says immortality can't be given, but think of anything else equal to immortality. This asura thought of, may I not be killed by any, except, if at all, only 7-day-old baby. That way, he was extremely sure, no baby will gain strength enough. Here again, you see, subtleties are immense. 7 days, you must realize we live for 7 days. And to be killed by a baby means childlike simplicity of the mind. And the mind becomes completely free of mala, vikshepa, impurities, distractions. The enlightened mind becomes as calm, quiet as a newborn baby, but not childish. So Subramanya, how was he born? Let me give some idea. It's most complicated story. The marriage of Shiva and Parvati. It's Parvati is purified intellect. Sati was intellect, general intellect. Now general intellect went through transformation. And transformed intellect is now Parvati. Shiva having wedded Parvati, soul having wedded pure intellect, gives rise to intuitive wisdom. That wisdom is brought out in the form of Lord Subramanya, his Jnanamurti, embodiment of wisdom. Now, storyline. The effulgence of Shiva as a result of communing with Parvati, effulgence emanated from Shiva. And that effulgence as if fell on the earth. Six Matrikas, wives of Saptarshis. Saptarshis are seven great sages. Those seven great sages I have pointed out previously. They are symbolic of seven steps of wisdom. Aspiration, Shubhecha, Vicharana, reflection. Tanumanasi, attenuation of mind. Sattvapatti, abundance of sattva. Asamsakti, becoming detached from the world. Padartha bhavana, the world becomes just void. Turiya, the entire world is transcended. Each one is a rishi. Each rishi has a corresponding bhavana that described as the wife of the rishi. Bhavana is feeling. Six of those matrikas, they are called matrikas, the wives of Saptarshis. Six of them, Anasuya remains in a high level as transcendental. Anasuya is Vasishtha's wife. Not yet. Arundhati is Vasishtha's wife. Anasuya's story comes later. So, accepting Arundhati, six matrikas, they drew those effulgence in their bodies, what emanated from Shiva. Six mothers were conceived, using ordinary language, as a result of emanating energy from Shiva. And these six mothers brought out radiations, and that radiations blended up into a baby. That's how Subramanya was born. Now the baby needed nourishment. Six divine beings, goddesses, they are known as Kirtikas. They nourished the baby. Remember the stages coming from Shiva. Nourished by the wives of these rishis. Not nourished, conceived. And then brought out. Prior to his becoming a baby, he was held by Ganges, Ganga Devi. And Ganga Devi could not hold his effulgence. Put him into a forest called Sharavana, forest of sharp reeds. What does that forest imply? Forest is the chitta, the unconscious. Sharp reeds is Vivek Buddhi, discriminative knowledge that has created a special effect in your chitta. In a simple point, intellect remains dull in people. Spiritual insights given by your intellect are not sharp. If they are sharp, they will lead your soul to liberation. But in a purified chitta, as if razor sharp reeds grow, in that razor sharp purified chitta is born the baby wisdom that's going to destroy the big demon. And these matrikas, no, not matrikas, kirtikas. Kirtikas comes from the term kirti. Kirti means fame, great glory. The names of the Kirtikas are Prabha. Prabha is as the sun begins to shine early in the morning. Prabhat, that initial effulgence from the sun is called Prabha. Abha, another Kirtika. Abha is another type of effulgence. Teja, effulgence that has heat with it. Bhavya, effulgence that is bringing out positive things, divine sublimity, shobha, effulgence that brings us immense sense of beauty, sukriti, another type that brings the glory of the soul that is hidden within you will be brought out. And kriti implies also good deeds. It will help you to do all types of righteous deeds. So these are the mothers that they feed the baby. But the baby has only one head. To draw from six mothers, he must have six heads. And miraculously, the baby develops six heads. those six heads are six aspects of Bhagavan, six Bhagas. Jnana, wisdom, vairagya, dispassion, bala, spiritual strength, kirti, spiritual glory, shri, spiritual prosperity, aishwarya, immense effulgence. These six attributes describe God. That God is called Bhagavan. That Bhagavan is here being brought out in a cartoon picture. So the baby with six faces, and they are being fed by these six matrikas, not kirtikas, six kirtikas. That has a very subtle implication. The jnana within you develops when you are nourished by prabha, awakening. Vairagya develops when you are nourished by another aspect of spiritual strength. Different aspects of spiritual progress, they are like the kirtikas feeding the potential God within you who has six faces. Ultimately, Kartikeya becomes mature enough and he is brought to Shiva and Parvati. And during that time, Tarakasura began to harass gods, and Kartikeya took up that task. Even as a baby, of course, he immediately, with all his divine power, had all the power, and he became the general of all God's army, just a baby. Imagine always, Ganesha, he was just a baby, but he became a powerful personality within moments. So Kartikeya destroyed Tarakasura. But even when as a baby, the scriptures describe that when he commenced his project, Lord Vishnu gave him special weapons, fire god gave him effulgence, the wind god gave him peacock to ride on, and different gods gave him different powers. In other words, he was the essence of all divine glory, power, attribute. Kartikeya is known by different names. Kartikeya, Skanda, Swami Kumar, Subrahmanya. Subrahmanya comes from Brahman. He is an expression of Brahman. Sharanan, six faces. It's also known as Guha. He is the reality in the cave of the heart. And he is known as also Valli Devasenapati. Valli is Ichha Shakti, willpower. Devasena, Kriya Shakti, the ability to perform actions. And the veil, a kind of weapon he holds in his hand, that's Jnana Shakti. At this stage, I will give you a little mystical meaning of Subramanya's mantra. Om Shri Saravana Bhavaya Namaha. That's the mantra for Subramanya. Saravana Bhavaya, Shara, the razor sharp grass, forest of reeds, that's Shara. Vana is forest. The forest of reeds, from that bhava, he emerged out of forest of reeds. To that Lord, we offer adoration. Already have given the meaning behind it. But in mantra, every letter becomes like a formula, of a chemical formula type. Every letter has special meaning. And mantra is constituted of bijaksharas, root letters. Om Shri Saravana Bhavaya Namah. Om is Brahman. Shri Lakshmi Devi, goddess of prosperity. Sha is another aspect of Lakshmi, Mahalakshmi. Ra, Sha, Ra. Ra there represents like a ray that removes darkness. It's knowledge, jnana. Bha, Sha, Ra, Va is not Va. Va is written in English for that. Va. Va means expansion. Va, Va, Va. Na. Na is not ordinary N. Na is special, vibratory. It resonates with your teeth. Called joy, bliss. If ordinarily happy, just little smile comes to the teeth. Extraordinarily blissful, it resonates all the teeth. Symbolic. Bha, bhakti, devotion. Va, leading to moksha. Ya, fall happens within your heart, Hridayam. The result, Namah, negation of me and mine.